Paul.
Yes, Tony, yes.
Took you a sec.
All right.
And I'm not going to edit out that pause.
You can make it longer if you want to really just bring it home.
I just might. Just get some room tone at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I have a confession to make.
All right.
Something I'm not proud of.
Okay.
It was something that happened last night, and I just want to put it behind me.
Okay.
I gave Fortnite a try.
Okay. That's not good.
It was not good.
Oh, no.
And here's the thing.
All right.
I was playing it, well, trying to play it, and I was like, this game isn't even that good. Why can't I stop playing it? Oh. So, I mean, do you know the premise for the game?
I guess so. Tell me, though.
Okay. So, it starts with you jump out of a plane, and it's a battle royale.
Okay.
And basically, you and your team and the other team, and it's 50 people versus 50 people. You run towards each other. You pick up guns and all kinds of, you know, military-type stuff.
Right.
Rocket launchers, assault rifles, sniper rifles, the whole thing.
Yep.
And you try to knock out the other team. And I am not very good at all. It's slightly third person as opposed to like a first person shooter like Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
But I have never been good at those games. And I feel like the difficulty of those games has just gotten harder and harder. You know what I mean? You have to have been playing Halo since you were six. you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And it's not great for my self-esteem. The whole, I mean, you try to do a thing and you get shot down.
Okay.
It's just, it feels like life.
Yeah. I feel like it would be good, and I sort of thought the game would do this, that it would know that you are a brand new player, and it would put you in a match with a bunch of people that are around your skill level.
No. Well, there is like a 15 to 20 second period at the beginning before you jump out of the plane where you just get to run around, and there is a button there that says help, and that tells you all the controls.
All right.
So it is very trial by fire.
Yeah.
But, oh my God. I played a lot of Fortnite last night, and I did not feel great about it at all. And
when you say a lot, like how many hours are we talking about?
I don't want to get into that.
All right. So more than like one or two.
Yeah.
Because that would be kind of my limit, I think. And then I'd be like, you know what? I need to go do something else.
I mean, I just needed to not think and just wanted to. And also, okay, so there was this bar at the menu screen that started at 0 out of 7. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You can only play 7 games a day. Like that is.
Oh, no.
And no, it's that is an accomplishment that you then unlock.
Right.
You get an award for playing 7 games.
Yeah. Yeah. That is their business model, to get you to play as much as possible.
I feel that I do have a gold star for never having spent money on in-app purchases.
Okay.
Do you have that?
I spent money on in-app purchases only in a like broad unlock. Like you download the game and you can try it. And then if you want to play the whole game,
that's not an in-app purchase.
It is technically an in-app purchase, but it is not what you're thinking of, which is like the Candy Crush or that sort of thing where it's like, I just need to get past this level. Let me give them $1.
Yeah.
And then it's a slippery slope. And then all of a sudden all your life savings are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also just made me reflect on what I want in video games myself.
Yeah.
I want a little more puzzle.
Yep.
I like being left alone to figure out things for myself.
Okay.
I appreciate those games where it's, you know, the only person judging me is the AI algorithm.
Okay.
God, I don't like being in front of all these people.
I feel like nowadays that is the trend of these video games like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds and Fortnite and these and
HQ
where, Destiny, where it is multiplayer online. And part of it was that I was raised with a Commodore 64 in the 80s.
That's so crazy. I didn't know you had a Commodore 64.
I had a Commodore 64 for many years.
I had an Atari.
There you go. And so I feel like I was raised on games that are independent, like they're just for you. And yeah, the whole playing against the world, I feel like would stress me out. And I much prefer playing just by myself.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. However, I do know myself that certain video games, like for example, Civilization, they are crack cocaine for me. And I must only let myself play them when I need that particular medication of turning off the brain. And other than that, no, because I will start playing that and then it'll be 8 hours later and I'll be like, oh my God, what just happened?
Yep.
Yeah.
You suddenly feel bad about all of your relationships that you've neglected.
Yeah, it's true.
You think about all the podcasts you didn't prepare for, inadequately. Thankfully, I did all of my podcast prep before I went on this Fortnite run.
Yeah, you did a good job.
God. It's not even that good.
That's weird.
It's really not.
That's so strange.
Apparently, it's big for Major League Baseball players, like they all talk shit on each other on Fortnite.
Weird.
Yeah, which I don't know. I guess it's something to do when you're in the dugout.
So now, is this? Did you play it on your Mac?
No, okay. On my phone.
On your phone. That's weird.
I just want like an Angry Birds kind of thing to come back, like to get hooked on something like that.
All
like,
right.
This Fortnite's too stressful for me, man.
Yeah.
In fact, like now I just want to chill the hell out with some chill vibes. You got something?
I do have something.
What's that?
We're going to play a brand new song from a brand new band, and they're called Bal Boem.
Here on Hometown Sounds. Okay, so I got the Fortnite out of my system, both like playing it and talking about it. So now we can talk about that really sweet jam called So Bad from Bal Boem. That is the lead-off single from their self-titled EP, which is out September 6th. And they are playing an EP release show that same date at DC9 with Near Northeast. Hell to the yeah, to the hell yeah.
Yeah, excellent, excellent billing. P.S. by the way, this is the Hometown Sounds podcast. We show you how DC rocks.
We show you how DC gets obsessed with massive. What's the MMO?
Massive multiplayer online games.
Yeah, that's it. And what's your name?
My name is Paul Vodra.
My name's Tony Pareko.
Yeah, that was a fun little song. It was just recently premiered on a DC music blog that I did not know about yet called tandturntables.com.
That's a very cute combo.
Yes, it is.
We're having a convo about a combo.
That band is fronted by singer-songwriter Laurel Halsey, who is also in a band called The North Country, who we've featured many, many times.
Many, many times. And who are playing a show at their own venues, Farewell, Bye Bye Venue Festival, Bathtub Republic. They are shutting down, but they are having a goodbye fest July 28th and 29th with, as stated, performances from the North Country and a whole lot of other great folks like who, Paul?
Oh, let's see. I got this up in a browser tab here. We got some Foul Swoops. We got Light Beams. Crazy about Light Beams. Sir EU, we got a jazz combo featuring Luke Stewart, Anthony Parag, Ian McComb, and Brian Settles. All those guys are fantastic. Let's see. Nice Breeze, Sean Barna, Margo McDonald, of course, Brenda, Airline Andouille, Forgetter, lots of people playing.
Oh, man.
That.
I looked up Airline Andouille. They had a statement on their Bandcamp about how they buried all of their CDs,
yep,
all of their physical copies of their record in the woods and gave some Google coordinates. And I actually have reason to be near those coordinates on the reg.
Oh my God.
So I'm thinking about going to try to dig them up to see if that is actually the case.
Or if anybody else has gotten to it first.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm going to go and it's just going to be a pile of dirt, maybe a shovel sticking out of the ground.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So Bathtub Republic is shutting down after 5 years. I think, it's probably 5 years in their two locations. They were originally in Mount Pleasant, close to the Wonderland Ballroom.
No, Columbia Heights.
Columbia Heights. Yeah, close to the Wonderland Ballroom. And they moved to, what is the other neighborhood they've been in for a few years now?
Edgewood?
I can't. There's
Rhode Island Avenue.
I feel bad that there's some DC neighborhoods that I don't really know very well. But anyway, so they have been hosting shows really epically. I feel like it was Paper House and then Bathtub Republic really killing it with the house music shows. And Paper House has moved around and wrapped up. And now Bathtub Republic is doing the same. And it seems like it is against their will. There have been some posts on social media with the Craigslist rental post about the house. So if you want to live in the house that was Bathtub Republic, you can do that, I guess, if you want to.
Paul, you want to be roommates? Do you think we'd be good roommates? I'm pretty clean.
Yes.
You're pretty clean.
I think we'd be good roommates. I think we would not be sketchy. That's the problem with roommates, is when they get sketchy.
Yeah.
I feel like you and I would be pretty respectful.
The thing is I don't want to be roommates with you, Paul. I just wanted to see how far I could get you to go.
It's pretty far. Yeah. So I wonder what the house music scene is going to be like in DC, because it's been an epic tradition for hosting, you know, shows in alternative spaces for alternative financial arrangements that are more, you know, all ages friendly and stuff like that. That's been a big thing with, you know, the punk scene especially. And there are a lot of really great venues to see music in DC, like on the official front. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. You know, there's always smaller places hosting more occasional shows, and that'll continue to go on. But, you know, for a long time now, like, Paper House was just so good at hosting these shows and promoting them, and every, you know, it was a pretty big thing and people would come, and then Bathtub Republic got into it and they got really good at it. So
they were really good at it, but I don't know. I felt like they had their own brand as opposed to Paper House, whereas things always felt a little more casual at Bathtub Republic.
Yep.
Whereas Paper House really did kind of feel like a venue of sorts, whereas Bathtub Republic was more of, hey, we're just having people over playing music.
That's true. There is a very big difference to me between going to a venue like DC9 or Black Hat or something like that and going to a show at Bathtub Republic. The music might be the same. Music might be really good, but definitely Bathtub Republic feels like you're going to a party where these bands happen to be playing, versus going to the Black Hat where the whole thing is seeing the music and then maybe you'll see some of your friends there and hang out and have a drink or something.
I remember one time I went to a show at the first Bathtub Republic, and I think it was Halloween and I was wearing a mask and I had a cheese Danish, and I went downstairs and Electric Grandmother was playing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was eating the cheese Danish through my mask. And they called me out on it.
Yes.
Because it was a fun bit of crowd work to do. And it was great. Also, like, people didn't recognize me at first.
Right. Because you were wearing the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be anybody.
Yeah. Hot cheese Danish is the best Danish. Do you have an opinion about Danishes, Paul?
Next up, we have a really fun band. They are called Champion Sound Band.
What a name. Paul, how do you feel about people who take a real stance on something via Facebook?
Depends on what the stance is about. Could be good, could be bad.
Okay, so there's this guy I went to college with. Have not really interacted with him at all since then.
All right.
But so this is a post from him that I just saw, and it read, "The anti-straw movement is absolutely ridiculous, period.
Yeah.
Feel-good policies for no real environmental benefit, period. Don't be fooled." And there was a link to some ad about, you know, how the plastic straw ban thing is BS.
Yeah.
And tied to it is that Seattle has become the first city to ban plastic straws.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about. Like, I know that Starbucks is on their way out of having plastic straws available. But I am conflict avoidant to the point where I just get uncomfortable reading that, being like, man.
I know DC is planning on banning plastic straws soon. And yeah, a lot of restaurants are getting into it.
What if they treated it like bags and if they were like a nickel?
Yeah, that would probably be good, because then people would have to actually like ask for them, or like, you know, pony up a little bit more. Maybe a dollar, though. Maybe they'd have to be more than a nickel.
I love it whenever you get to say pony like that. Another word that I'm really wanting people to pick up and use a lot more is switcheroo.
Okay. That is good.
Nothing like a good switcheroo to put you in a better mood.
Oh, yeah.
Much like that song.
That's right.
My segues today.
Killing it.
Yep.
Yep. That song was called Eyes Closed by Champion Sound Band.
And I feel like they occupy a genre where you are allowed to call yourself Champion Sound Band. When you are that skilled and adept at what you do, you know, I would never name my indie rock band Champion Sound Band.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. That music had a nice sweet spot between like jazz and funk and rock. It had a nice groove, and I loved her kind of delicate, breathy voice singing on that. That is their second single, and it is available to buy on their Bandcamp page. Their first single is called Whatever, and they recently made a music video for it, and we just ran that last week on the Hometown Sounds DC Music Video of the Day feed. So please do go check that out, because you know, music videos are a really fun way to experience a song as well. They are next playing a big show. This is going to be a really big show for them at the 9:30 Club on Saturday, July 28th at a thing called That 70s Party that features them playing live originals and 70s covers, and also DJs spinning some vinyl of fun 70s music. And of course, 70s attire is greatly encouraged.
And we're going to play another song. My segues, man. No, this is from an artist called Frass Green, and real about face in terms of genre right now. We're going to go lo-fi.
It's all I've been since you left with your new baby. And I don't mind, I just think it's sort of crazy how close we were but haven't seen each other lately. Songs about how down they are, and yeah, if I'm honest, I guess I'm not all that much different. But I miss you. I miss you. Oh,
I love some tape hiss on a recording. No, and I just love it when bands play with old forms mm-hmm. like that. It makes you think of a time when everything was simpler and you didn't have problems. I think I'm revealing too much about myself right now.
Written about recently in the newsletter from Seven Drum City, and they said, pairs well with Coronas and a Heartbreak.
That was Frass Green with a track called Miss You, parens, wah. Close parens. And I believe that the wah is maybe referring to the background vocals in that song.
This comes from a 5-song EP called All Right that's available to download from their Bandcamp for whatever price feels right to you.
So I found this band because of a show that they're playing on July 27th at Rock and Roll Hotel with Hometown Sounds alums Bottled Up. And another band we played before called Infinity Crush, who have since moved on to North Carolina, so we can't play them anymore.
Nope. Dead to us.
Yep, dead. So this release is not new, but it's really, really, really good lo-fi. But also, these are songs that the lead guy, Joe Antoshak, recorded alone in his parents' garage in Aberdeen, Maryland earlier that year in 2017, originally for an album called Sweeties.
Which is like Tony's keyword.
Yeah. So I just want to revisit that I love Sweeties. And this guy sounds like a sweetie.
Sounds like your sweetie.
Yeah. Also, they had an Instagram post with a snippet that On Tap Magazine did about them. And On Tap Magazine called them Garage Rockabilly, which is fine by me. And I was really surprised to see On Tap Magazine really nailing it with a genre description. Good job, On Tap. We are going to keep the show rolling. This is a new track from Milo and the Doldrums. Excellent volume swell, if I do say so myself. And I minored in Volume Swells.
A solid song with a solid ending.
Yes. Also, what I love about that song from Milo in the Doldrums is that it's just a few steps away from that Collective Soul song, December.
Mm. Yeah, I get that.
Which, is that song good? I think it's good. I'm not talking about Milo in the Doldrums.
Right.
I just mean, like, were they a band who were kind of laughable? They were very dramatic.
Well, you know,
it's what I love.
It was the 90s, and you know, at the time things seemed great, and then later you look at them and you're like, what were we doing? And maybe that applies to that song. It's hard to say.
History and culture is just kind of like that. But anyway,
that song was called No Sense in It All. It is from a new EP by Milo and the Doldrums called Built for No One, and it is available to buy right now on their Bandcamp page.
Yes, and my notes about this EP are that it's very good and sounds very good. And it was recorded at both The Lighthouse with Peter Larkin and Ben Green at Ivacoda. I know both of those guys, and they're both excellent at what they do, which is recording rock bands. My guess is that... they had to wrap up with Ben Green after Peter Larkin moved out of DC.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
We last featured Milo and the Doldrums on this podcast back in July of 2016 with a song called Sunday Dawnings.
And I'd always been curious about their name, and I got around to Googling it today. And it turns out that it's a reference to the protagonist Milo of the 1961 children's adventure novel, The Phantom Tollbooth. Paul, did you know this?
Nope.
Had you ever read this book?
Nope.
I had very favorite books when I was a kid. They were very favorite.
Yeah.
So there's this kid, Milo, and he ends up in this place called the Doldrums where it's colorless and nothing ever happens. Mm. But then he meets this watchdog who is a dog with clocks on both of his sides.
Oh.
Yeah. And the watchdog tells him that the only way to exit, to get out of the Doldrums, is to think. So it's a very didactic kind of like, you know, Reading Rainbow-ish kind of... you know, lessons about education and so forth kind of book. So, yeah, anyway, I think that speaks to Milo and the Doldrums. They sound like some very well-read and well-rounded guys. They are playing a show on October 4th with our boy Sean Barna and another band called The Head from Atlanta at Black Cat. And that's a cool lineup.
And now we're going to play another song. And this one's going to really rock.
It's going to devastate you.
Yes, indeed. It's called Devastation.
From Elizabeth II.
Just the way.
isn't she something?
Mm-hmm. That was Devastation, as we said, brand new single from Elizabeth II. And that song is available to buy on their Bandcamp page. Do you know Elizabeth II? They are fronted by Beth Cannon, who you might recognize from her bright blue hair.
And gosh, she can shred. I don't know. My hot take on that was like Cheap Trick meets Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like she's got some musical theater in her. Like I could see her authoring a rock musical.
Yes.
That you would not want to see, Paul.
Probably not. I'd see a rock musical. I would see it. I wouldn't pay a lot of money to see it. I wouldn't pay like Hamilton prices to see it.
I can't wait for us to be old men so we can go to rock musicals together.
There is a music video for that song. Strangely enough, even though that single just came out on Bandcamp, the music video came out in May of 2017, and it has almost a little bit shy of 20,000 views, which is pretty impressive on YouTube. And it's a pretty great music video. Pretty great. And I feel like what's interesting about it is that it feels like MTV. Like, it feels like something that really could be on classic MTV.
Yeah, lots of cuts between the band and interpersonal drama.
Yeah, and just in terms of, like, it's glam. Like, she's dressed up. She's got a cool hat on. She's got the blue hair strutting around. I feel like that is an element that most DC bands don't have, which is the extra effort put into the visual presentation.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Gabe Fry just wearing like a button down on and, stage with the NRS.
Chucks. Yeah, yeah. And Chucks, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everything is a look. And, you know, whatever people decide to put on, you know, says something about how they want people to perceive them on stage. And, you know, a lot of DC bands don't want people to think that they are putting any effort into what they visually present. You know, in terms of like, oh, I went to a thrift shop and I bought these crazy things, or I, you know, have this crazy hair color, this hat or whatever, you know, and I just appreciate it when a band puts a little extra effort into the visual presentation.
Paul's favorite band is The Darkness.
That is not true. Elizabeth II recently played a show at Slash Run, which was a free show hosted by ace DC photographer Roxplosion. And I feel like what's great about that is that he takes really great photos of bands that probably could not really afford to hire a photographer to take some really awesome pictures. And he's there taking photos. He goes to so many shows, that guy.
I don't understand how he doesn't get burnt out on living with the amount of shows that he goes to, because he goes to shows like frequently 6 to 7 nights a week, and he lives in Reston.
Well, and the other thing that he has mentioned to me recently is that he is now working the overnight shift. So he works from like 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. or so. So he will go to a show and then go to work. And that's crazy. That's dedication.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's all kinds of research about how just working the overnight shift is bad for your health.
Yep.
Like, you know, you don't have sunlight. You are asleep when, you know, like when everyone else is awake. It kind of isolates you from friends and family.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is notoriously chipper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he's such an important part of the DC music scene. And just because he goes out there taking pictures and posts them.
Thousands of pictures.
Oh, my God. And they're really good. So anyway, I really think that having Elizabeth II play that was great, because she is really photogenic, especially when rocking out. And so that's a good match there of Roxplosion taking pictures.
You can see Elizabeth II on Thursday, August 23rd at Black Cat with In the Whale and DC's Company Calls.
And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. So please subscribe to it. Please help one of your dearest friends also subscribe to it. Wouldn't that be fun? Just like get their phone and just pull up the podcast app and type us in and hit subscribe and hand it back to them and say, you're welcome. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's at Hometown Sounds. We have a website. It's hometownsoundsdc.com. Check it out for music videos, for show recommendations, for this very podcast, for the show notes of this podcast, in which we post links, mostly to Bandcamp, of the stuff that we have played, so that you can check it out and possess it yourself. We have an email address. It's dj@hometownsoundsdc.com.
Send us your music.
Really, the important thing, though, is to support the musicians you've heard on this podcast by buying their music.
And seeing them play live.
Yes, indeed. We have one last song for you on this episode. This is a band called Spectrums. they are instrumental indie rock. We like to ease you out of this podcast gently with some ambient, some instrumental stuff that we put at the end. This song is called Catch Dart.
That's a curious title. Like, I mean, I think it's impressive if you can catch a dart.
I wouldn't want to try, because if you screw that up,
oh yeah,
you're hurting.
Dart in the eye.
Yeah. That is from their forthcoming second EP, which is entitled
Two
Roman Numerals, II. You can pre-order it now for $4, and that will drop into your life on July 31st.
One note about this EP is that there is a track on it called What's in the Box?
Oh, that's creepy.
And I want to know what's in the box. But I mean, it's probably not creepy. It's probably just some instrumental indie rock.
It could be. I think it's probably a reference to the movie Seven.
I saw that. I Googled What's in the Box earlier. I've never seen Seven. I've heard people talk about...
Oh, that's a classic movie.
I've heard people say, like, make the reference to, like, what's in the box?
Yes. I feel like if you have seen the movie and you hear that phrase, that's where you go to. And so if you've not seen the movie, then you're like, what is that a reference to? So yeah.
I kind of half knew it.
Also, as a programming note, there is a very fine DJ night called We Fought the Big One.
What is the big one?
I don't know. I think it's a reference to some song lyrics. Because the host of it, Rick Taylor, is very, 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 very deep into post-punk and various assorted genres. And that is the theme of this DJ night, which has been going for a long time, I believe about 10 years. And it is at the Mark's Cafe, which is in Mount Pleasant.
That is in Mount Pleasant.
That is definitely in Mount Pleasant. I did not screw that up. They host this event on the first Friday of the month. And the next one will be Friday, August 3rd. And there will be a live band performing. And it will be this band, Spectrums. And there will be a guest DJ, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be me, because Rick asked me a couple of days ago if I would do it. And I'd say, well, let me get on my schedule and get back to you. This is not me getting back to you, though, because we're going to put this out in a few days, and I should probably message him and be like, yeah, this is good. It works for me.
How about you just tell him the answers on this week's podcast?
That would be mean.
No, because it's not.
If it's no, then he's got to find somebody else.
Oh, come on. You would never tell him. You would never tell him no over a podcast. You always yes and.
That's true. That's true. So
what is your and?
The yes and, come check out the really awesome DC music.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done.
Yes. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome, Paul.
Thank you all for listening and being a part of the DC music scene with us. And we will see you next time.
Next time.